Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long once more to be.
Once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we open your word this morning, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to be with me, Father, to open my heart, my mind, to be receptive to this, thy word, Father, to be able to comprehend the truth and the message that is in this study this morning, so that I can share it with others, Father, to help them to grow in faith, in spirit, and in truth. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're in the last chapter of 2 Timothy, which is a very, very short chapter. Because even though there's 22 verses to it, a lot of them are short, and the last four are actually Paul's salutation saying goodbye. Anyhow, now, so things might be short this morning, because I don't want to get into Titus this morning following Timothy. We'll get into Titus this evening at 6 p.m., God willing. Now, here, chapter 4, verse 1, in 2 Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they reap to themselves teachers having itching ears. 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. He's telling us there in those four verses, Paul is, and more so he's telling Timothy to preach the word. Preaching is the God-ordained means to prevent defection from the truth. Teachers who appeal to itching ears tell people what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. And thus both shall be turned unto fables, myths or legends, whichever one you want to call it. But anyway, it'll not be the truth, nor the word with the authority and the power of Almighty God. It's what they want to hear in order so they can go on being themselves and doing the things they've always done instead of following the word of Almighty God that would cause them to stay away from a lot of their associates and to quit doing a lot of things they were doing. And it's the same with us today. Very few today really want to hear the truth of God's word. They'll go to church as long as the word is not against something they are doing, but just as sure as anything is said or read that is against something they are up to, they're ready to quit going and do drop out because of their selfishness and their self-pride and believing that they can just do it all themselves. They don't need no one else. That doesn't work as far as the Lord our God is concerned. You see, He is to be first in our lives. Not second and third, fourth, fifth, sixth. No. First in our lives. We are to become completely His. Walking in His will, His way, and His word in obedience. If you want to make heaven your home. And we are to live our lives to the extent of becoming mature in Christ, which means that we live our lives without sin. Because you see, when we become mature in Christ, we become born again. And when you become born again, you don't commit these old sins anymore. Oh, now, you know my church teaches that you've got to sin. Everybody has sin. Everybody's got to sin. You see, what that is where they have taken of a short verse out of context, a verse that tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And they say, see, that's telling you that you can't live without sin in your life. No, that's not what it's telling you. It's telling you that we have all walked in sin until we become born again. And when we become born again, that is when sin stops in our life. Oh, no, Pastor, that's not God's word. Yes, it is. I'm going to read it to you. Now, in 1 John chapter 3, we're going to start with verse 8. Well, let's see. Let's start with verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Now, 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed, the Holy Spirit, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, you think you can go on living your life like you've always lived it and make heaven your home? Because you see, if you go to the Gospel of John in the 3rd chapter, as Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, he's telling him that all has to be born again. That if those that are not born again cannot enter the kingdom of God. You see, these are things that they have quit preaching today. Think about it. They don't preach this no more, because it causes them to lose some, and they don't want to lose them and lose the money that's coming in. And they have changed, and it has weakened the churches today. Now, here in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, starting here with verse 3, well, let's just start from verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily. There's that verily, verily. And you know, I've told you before, that means pay attention. I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You see, that wasn't my word. That's his word. 4. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? 5. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You've got to be born again. You've got to be born of the water and of the Spirit. In other words, you've got to put on the Lord Jesus Christ through baptism, and you've got to have the Holy Spirit of Almighty God living in you and be walking in the Spirit of God in order to enter into the kingdom of God. You can't get any plainer. He's putting it straight, point blank. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. You see, I wasn't telling you something that wasn't so. And it's all in the Word of God. But we have too many today that are walking around these things and not teaching the things they need to be teaching. And they're teaching things that are contrary to the Word of God. Now, here in verse 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. He's talking here to Timothy. But it's also for you and I. Now, especially for those that are in the ministry of the gospel, to make full proof of it. In other words, we do everything that we know God wants us to do, and we teach this gospel as it should be. So the way it is written, not the way in the things we want to twist and turn and make it say that it does not say. Now, 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul here is letting them know that his death is imminent. 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Now, you see, he tells him, do the work of an evangelist. And Paul commands Timothy to fully discharge his evangelistic ministry by preaching the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Evangelism is viewed by the New Testament writers as an essential task of the New Testament church, because we are to teach the truth. Now, and we are to share. That's why the Lord's got me speaking now. Right now I am speaking over two different things of the internet. I am speaking over Blog Talk, which some of you hear me on. And I'm speaking over YouTube, which some are listening to me on. And he's working right now to put us on another one or two, maybe, yet. Besides our work locally. Now, 9. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Come shortly unto me. He's wanting Timothy to come to him because he has things to share with him and all in the same because he knows that he is about to depart from this life and go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are still things yet that needs to be told and done. 10. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, and Cilicia to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. 11. Only Luke is with me. Now Luke is with him. Says, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. 12. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. 13. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Now, you know, Paul is making three personal requests. He asked Timothy, one, to come soon, two, to bring along Mark, because he is profitable. And you know, that lets you and I know that the disagreement between Barnabas and Paul over John Mark had been rectified. You know, they had a little disagreement because Mark at one time had started on a journey with them, but then they left them. Now, and three, he's telling him to bring the cloak. Apparently, Paul has been arrested suddenly without a chance to take his personal belongings with him, books and parchment, and it probably refers to Paul's personal copies of the Old Testament books and the New Testament manuscripts. You see, not only those that he was writing, but those that he had gotten a hold of from others. We see that Paul obeys the Spirit of Almighty God. 14. Alexander, the coppersmith, did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. We don't know what that is. We're not told here what he had done to him. Now, 15. Of whom be thou ware also, for he has greatly withstood our words. Oh, there's part of what he had done. He's standing against the teaching of the gospel, the words that God has given them to teach. And this one is standing against that. Now, 16. At my first, answer no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. All of them has forsaken me. This is what he felt. Anyway. Now, 17. But you see, in this, I was talking to you about yesterday. 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And you know, I was telling you how my older years was my best years, because I had learned more and was walking a lot straighter and stricter and in stronger faith and walking closer with the Lord Jesus, knowing that he was always with me, and the things I would go through, I was not going through them by myself. And even though I would have things come against me and on me, I still inside had that peace of God and joy. That's exactly what Paul is referring to here in verse 17. Even though everybody else had turned against him, he wasn't by himself. He knew that the Lord was with him. Now, 18. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. No man stood with me, what Paul is telling there in 16, but all men forsook me. It does not mean that no one cared for the apostle, but that in his final hours, he realized that only the Lord actually stood with him, despite his impending execution. You see, he knew that his time was coming for him to leave this life and to be executed. Paul was convinced that the Lord will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. He knew where he was going, because Paul knew the state he was in, as you and I need to know. Because we need to know how we stand with the Lord our God. And the way we can do that is through his word and by the Holy Spirit of God guiding us, teaching us, and giving us the information that we need so that we will know. Now, here in 19 through 22, he's just more or less giving them his final greetings. 19. Salute Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesimus. 20. Erastus abode at Corinth. But Theophilus have I left at Miletus sick. 21. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Ebulus greeteth thee, Prudence and Linus and Claudia and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. And that was the end of Paul's letter, second letter to Timothy, his spiritual son. You know, We need more love today in the church and with each other. We need that godly love, the right kind of love. I'm not talking about this worldly lust kind of love. I'm talking about the true love of Almighty God. And we can only get that through the Lord our God and the Holy Spirit. But we need more of it today than we've had, especially in the last 40 or 50 years, because it's been over the last 50 to 60 years that the church has been going down, 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 and down, and getting weaker and further away from the truth of God's Word. And if you really get into His Word and get into these studies, not just mine, there are other studies out there that, in truth, not many, but there are others. They're few and far between, but still, they are others out there. And they are some good, godly men out there that are teaching and standing today in truth. And they will not turn away. They are willing to die, just as Paul was, for the gospel. And just like we all need to be in that kind of condition, because it takes that in order for you and I to be born again and to make heaven our home. I pray that you have gained something from the study this morning that will help you through this day and will help to strengthen your life with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for this time so we can come together to share your word with each other and to show our love one for the other, being there for each other, to give what help we can, Father, in order to see them to grow strong, strong in your word, strong with the Lord Jesus Christ, strong in the ministry that you've given to each one of us. Now, Father, we pray for Israel and Jerusalem, for peace for them. We know that right now they're not having peace, Father. They're in terrible conflict. We are praying for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, we are praying for them all to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. In this land of ours, Father, turned its back and walked away from you and from the Lord Jesus Christ, not wanting his name spoken in prayer or nowhere else in heaven. Father, this has came from a lot of evil that is sitting in our government offices. And Father, we're praying for those that are bringing this evil upon this land be removed from office, Father, and replaced by those that belong to you, so that this land can be brought back to what it was, Father, and that they'll work with us to bring this land to repentance and put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, pray for all the families that listen in to this Bible study and those around. And I pray for Kenny Powers, for Dennis Lee, for Amy, Amy's husband Tom, her son Jacob, Bobby and Millie Johnson, James Taylor, Sue and David Branson. Father, with these shingles, even in our eyes, Father, we know that how misery, much misery that can be. Father, we're praying for a quick recovery there, Father, for those. Now, Father, for myself, my wife, and all of our families, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, Father, that those that are not walking in the light, Holy Spirit, work with them, with them, help to bring them out of darkness into the light, that light being Jesus, so that none be lost. And Father, I pray for those in the nursing home there in Brandenburg, Father, that they can have peace, they can have healing, Father, so that they can leave that place and return back home. Now, Father, be with all of us throughout this day, keeping us in health, keep us safe, so that we can be together again this evening at 6 p.m. and back into your word. And I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everyone. Walk with God, he'll walk with you. Have a great, great, great day. And share this word with someone else today.